Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, and the college football season is drawing near. There's some Week Zero games coming up this weekend, and then most all the teams across the rest of the country will get it going next weekend, largely on Saturday, September 3rd, and that includes the UNI Panthers coming off a 6-6 season a year ago that included a first-round appearance in the FCS playoffs, and we're really pleased today on the show to be joined by UNI football coach Mark Farley, who's entering his 22nd year. Coach Farley, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm good, Cole. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's great to be talking to you. I suppose first things first, you're 10 days from kickoff. So when you hear that, what does that make you think about where you see your team being at right now?
Well, I feel good where we're at, of course. I think we've had a very good camp. We've made progress. Where we're at, we'll never know until we line up on that on the Saturday against Air Force, and you know that's the challenge. That's what the effort's going into right now is just preparing for an opponent, and not just practicing. So Air Force is on in the site right now, and they're definitely a great football team.
Yeah, they bring a lot back. We'll talk about that matchup a little later on. A lot of attention being paid to your offense with the new scheme that Coach Clanton, first-year co-offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder and Joe Gans all collaborated together on. You said a couple weeks ago, Coach Farley, on Media Day, that to no fault of the offense, they weren't where they needed to be, but it's a process. So how about now, fast forward a couple weeks, what do you see from this new offense?
I watch the players. It's more important what the players. I watch the players, and I see confidence. I see energy, and that's the two things that are very evident. Now it comes down to production, and that will only be tested come a Saturday afternoon once we get involved here. But the energy, the confidence, I see it in their eyes, I see it in their actions, I see it in their body language. But it's still going to come down to production, and that's ultimately the test of everything.
That just makes me think about a conversation I had with Bodie Reeder not long after he started, where he said that, one of the biggest parts of the offense is having a touchdown mentality, that, the X's and O's only go so far. So it seems like things are in a good place right now because people, myself included, can get wrapped up into what does the scheme mean. But the mental side of thing is every bit or maybe more important.
And I'd probably say it's more important. I mean, we get caught up in the X's and O's, and I tell you what, when you put all the X's and O's on the table, the only teams that are not doing what everybody's doing is Air Force and Navy and Army.
Yeah.
Teams like that, they're doing their own thing, their own way. Everybody else falls in much like other teams, whether you're a Big Ten team, if you're an I team, a two tight end team, or you're going to be a spread team. And it's just fancy lingo for schemes and things like that, when ultimately it's the players. And that's really what I'm telling our guys. They go, we're past assignments. We're past all that stuff. We're into production now. And you better know what your assignment is. If not, you shouldn't be here. But this comes down to the production that you have, and not just saying you're doing your assignments. You got to do productive within your assignment and your scheme. And you have to take that approach, because I think people do get caught up in schemes when really it's the personnel, it's the confidence, it's how you play is what makes the production.
Building off of that, speaking of the players, report on Monday that Theo Day will be your starting quarterback week one for that opener at Air Force. I think many people were expecting that with respect to Matt Morrissey, a talented quarterback that you have. But what did Theo ultimately do, Coach Farley, to separate himself and get that job?
I think Theo separated himself probably the last 2 weeks. Definitely probably a week ago he really started to, what I would view as separate himself with how he played, the decisions he was making, the way he could communicate with the players, with the rest of his teammates, of making decisions out there. So. Mm-hmm. He's not all the way there by any means, but I tell you what, he has made great strides in the past 2 weeks, and that's part of getting comfortable. You got to get to be confident you're comfortable, and I think that's part of what we already talked about. Is that's what I see, is there's a comfort zone there, and I think there's a comfort zone with his teammates, his receivers, and there's no question the knowledge. I guess the way they communicate things is much more understandable and analytically comprehended very quickly, which is very important as a player. You gotta comprehend and play stuff very quickly and know what's going on within 30 seconds mm-hmm. after you get a call. You better know what you're doing if you even get 30 seconds. And I think that's what kind of brings on the confidence, and that's why Theo is the guy right now going in, is because he's exhibited that at practice, and now he's got to put it on the football field.
UNI football coach Mark Farley, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, among the positions that really seemed to have a lot of competition this camp is wide receiver. You said on media day, the way this offense is set up, we don't just have to find five receivers, we have to find five great receivers. Panther fans have seen Quan Hampton, Deion McShane, Sam Schnee all do productive things last year and in other seasons before that. Beyond those three, you brought in a lot of new faces. What have you seen in terms of how the competition at wide receiver has played itself out? Who's got themselves in position to perhaps make a difference on Saturdays?
Well, the names you said are ultimately very good names for us, but other names to add to that list, Sergio needs to step up his game from last year. There's expectations for him. I would say Desmond Hudson, the transfer in from Iowa, he's exhibited some things that we can use. And T.K. Kamara was a freshman, and we got running back. We put in some slots, and he's making some plays. And other than that, there's still competition going on and things like that, as there will be always at the receiver, because that's the group that will tend to get nicked up or wear down as the season progresses. But the key ones you've already mentioned is they got to make plays. They got to stand out. You're always looking for a game breaker. Mm-hmm. That will define itself as we progress the season, but there's some people there to be capable of game breakers, but that would come down to Theo. Theo is the one that's going to distribute the football, and you know those targets and protection will be just as important as the names that we're trying to find.
Speaking of receivers, Coach Farley, a lot of Cedar Falls Tigers fans listen to the station. What's the latest you can give us on Logan Wolf?
High expectations for Logan. Logan might be our best receiver, and I say might only because he hasn't had the opportunity to play. I mean, he's actually going to graduate, for crying out loud. That's how long he's been here, and he's an exceptionally intelligent person, but he's a very good player and a hard worker. And you know, he has done everything to put himself to be a great football player. It's just the injuries have set him back. So I would expect a great thing from Logan, but we're all sitting here kind of apprehensive going, every time he puts his foot on the field, probably including himself, he's going to have to gain that confidence back play by play, mm-hmm. that he's going to be okay, he can fight through it and that type of stuff. But he's doing those things. He's doing everything he possibly can except getting a live game right now. And that's the way you get over some of this stuff and gain confidence in back in your body is just by playing, taking hits and playing through some games. And I can't simulate that for him. He's out there practicing, doing all the things, but when you're an athlete that's been injured, and anybody that's listening understands what I'm saying, you just don't walk in on a significant injury and say, hey, I'm good to go again. You can talk the talk, but subconsciously you've got to find your way through that mm-hmm. and gain that confidence back. And he's working on that, and he's dealing with that, and I think he's doing a great job. So, yeah, fingers are crossed that Logan's on the football field the entire season, because he's a difference maker.
Yeah, that's good to hear. UNI football coach Mark Farley with us for a few more minutes on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. You know, Coach, much it has been made, and rightfully so, about, you know, you guys' job to find a replacement for Trevor Penning, who was your highest ever NFL draft pick. But you got to go to that defensive line where Jared Brinkman, also an All-American, just like Trevor, graduated, had another great partner there in the interior, the defensive line, and Tim Butcher, who graduated, a position there at defensive tackle that you had to, you know, get things figured out here in fall camp. You got a former Cedar Falls Tiger and Colin Klatt that transferred in. Dylan Bowles is in the second year of your program, who's a native Iowan. Jack Krebs from Ankeny saw some time last year. What can you tell us about a position where you had said, you know, we're looking for somebody to step up?
We are, and that's, I tell you what, we everybody wants to talk about offense. I tell you what, we got graduation and losing the players that we lost through graduation and everything over the past couple of years, the defense has really gotten lean as far as that next crew, because we're so used to the names you're talking about. I mean, you got a defensive player, a two-time defensive player of the year is gone. We've had national players of the year on defense. They're gone. So now it's who's going to take that role and take that kind of production to produce that way. So I really have no idea. I just know the guys that are definitely that capable of is you got Christian Boyd is capable.
Yeah.
Devin Rice is capable. Caden Hoftelling is capable. I mean, they're all in the mix and excited to have them. It's easy to mention their names because of the quality player they are. But after that, you know, somebody's got to find their way to the top, because when you make that substitution, you can't fall off. And we'll be good with the first unit, but we can't fall off when we sub, and we'll have to sub early and often at Air Force. We're at 6,000 feet, first game of the season, and playing goal line defense every down. So, yeah, we're going to find out really quick how where we're at, and very quickly what we still need to do once we leave that field. But ultimately, it's in that game, and excited to see what happens and see who will step to the forefront and produce.
Coach, a lot of Columbus Sailor fans listen to the radio station as well. Cannon Butler's been in the program for a couple, 3 years now. What can you say about what Cannon may have been able to do so far throughout the summer and fall camp to angle for some snaps?
Well, the deal on the Cannon, we took Cannon in the same regard that we took Trevor Penning, in the same evaluation that we took Ellerson. Same evaluation. We took Spencer Brown. He was a tall, lean athlete. He was unorthodox, if you want to call it that, coming out of high school, but he was 6'5", 6'6", could run, had great intensity, and we took him with the same evaluation of what he could be, not what he was coming out of high school, and we're excited at his progress right now. He's in a very good spot with the age that he is and the size and the talent that he is right now. And the best thing I could say about Cannon is I think he has found the confidence now and really understands what we saw 3 years ago, that now he's starting to see the light that, hey, he really can become what we had envisioned for him. And when the player figures that out, that, man, this is working, and if I really put my time in, great things could happen. I think he's at that stage where he can invest in himself now, because he's seeing the light that this is he's seeing the vision that we had for him, and now he's putting extra time into it.
That's exciting to hear. Coach, you know, you've mentioned so many times, and understandably so, what this new outdoor practice facility has meant to your program, and one of the things was its ability to limit injuries. And you touched on that on media day, but injuries are part of the game. Is there anybody, as of right now, that is not going to be available week one?
We've lost. I'm trying to think here. We lost a hand. We had a hand injury to an offensive lineman here just recently. But that had nothing to do. You know, he'll be back after surgeries and things like that. And then we lost a guy that was helping us on some special team stuff too. Nothing that he got nicked up a little bit just running gassers. But other than that, when you said that, you know, I do. I knock on wood as I sit right here thinking and going, it is unbelievable to me, even when I was in it and saw it happen, I just didn't see it through those eyes, because we've never had a nice field. And we just used what we had, and what we had we thought was nice. And now that we got what everybody else has had, the injuries in camp is, I'll bet you I'm 35% below the injury rate of what we've had the past 5 years in camp.
Wow.
And ultimately it's because of the outdoor field. And I go outside whenever I can. That's good for our team, heat-wise and everything else. But I tell you what, we can do a lot on that field right now in years past that would cause an injury. And like I said, I don't think we knew it, because we didn't have anything to compare it to. But now that we've had it and I've been through a two-day camp with it, unbelievable. I would say, I said 35, at least 30% less injuries, significant injuries to our football team by the football field alone. So I think that's paid for itself well over time, and the time that we'll have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, Coach, I have to imagine you're close to being all in on your week one prep for Air Force next Saturday. What can you tell us as that matchup, that season opener, draws near, about what you've been able to zero in on? That, you know, we know the elements, right? The altitude's a factor. You got to block. You got to tackle. You got to limit your penalties. Beyond that, with the uniqueness of the matchup here, what's going to be important for your Panthers?
Oh, you explained the things that are evident, that are byproducts of the game. But what's going to happen between the lines of the game is their offense is tremendous. I mean, they're 400 yards rushing a game.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Louisville last year in the bowl game. I looked at the discount to the COVID year. I believe they've only lost five games in 19 and 21 together, and they pound people. And they run that option. And anytime you go, yeah, we've been through 3 weeks of camp, but you can throw that all out the window, because when you play a team like this, we play about once, somebody like this about once every 3-4 years. You got to kind of go back and redo everything, because you don't see this but once every 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different style for a defense to get prepared for versus getting ready for Wisconsin or Iowa or Iowa State. Much more, I don't want to say easier, much more fluent and carryover than what getting ready for Air Force. So it's like start and stop and again. As well, when the game's over, then we're going to have to start and pick up where we left off, because now we got to go back to, you know, what is more an offense that you see every week. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge challenge that way. That's the biggest challenge. And let alone they're a good football team, but they're a very unique football team.
Sounds to me like got to make sure that the shoulder pads are buckled up tight.
Hey, you better bring a cowboy collar with it, because it's this is. But that's, you know what? That's why the military is how I think of the military. I mean, there's a reason. They're tough.
Mm-hmm.
They're disciplined. They're straightforward. There's no guessing. I mean, they're just good, and that's what you want our military to be. And these guys, that's their lifestyle. They chose the Air Force not for football but they chose the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's the, as I understand, that's the elite of the elite, because those are the pilots and things like that. That, you know, there's more than just want to. There's a lot of things behind the scenes too that they have to get in to,
yep,
the Air Force. So you tie all those things together, that's the uniqueness of the game that we play in versus maybe playing Wisconsin, Iowa, or Iowa State.
Coach, thanks so much for your time today on the show. Really appreciate it, and best of luck, best of health the rest of the way with camp, and that season opener is going to be here before we know it. So thanks so much.
You bet, Cole. Thank you.